you know, the longer that we've gone on not being able to meet in person, the more I've been thinking about what the church actually is and what it does. And in particular, I've been thinking about what keeps the church going and what makes a church run. So, is it having money? Is it having a great preacher? Is it having a great worship team or great programs or teachers or a great kids ministry or youth groups? Or maybe you show up to church expecting a good speaker or great music. Or maybe you do actually show up because you're excited to meet with God. And now, you know, there's nothing wrong with a good speaker or a good band or good programs or good ministries. But if that's the main thing a church has to offer, if that's why the church runs, then I would suggest that we have a problem. As a pastor of a church, I like to check out what other churches are doing. It's good to learn from other people, right? But sometimes looking at other people's stuff can lead you into the world of comparison. It's like, you know, I look at churches and I think, man, that church has got everything. They get the best big name preachers speaking at their place, and or their worship bands, man, they play like pros, and or they've got great and loads of groups and programs and a big youth ministry and an incredible kids church, and on top of that they've got hundreds of people coming on a Sunday. And I've even had the thought of, man, these guys must have tons of money as well. I think these guys really know how to run a church. And you know, that is a genuine conversation I've had with myself many times. But there's one thing missing from what I've said there, and this, and you know what it is, because we looked at it in Ephesians a few weeks ago. So what is that one thing? Well, let me read this from Ephesians 3. This is a prayer from Paul for the Ephesian church, and it says this. Paul says this: when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. In those few verses, Paul lays out for us what makes a church function and what makes a church run. And it's this: a church runs by the power of the Spirit. It runs through the strength of our faith in Christ, and it runs through us knowing, really knowing, the love of Christ. And if we have that, then we've got everything necessary for a church to run. I don't know if you realise, but the early church in Acts didn't appear to have a lot of money. There's no evidence that they had a building. There's no recording of them having impressive youth programmes or women's or men's programmes. And yet this early church turned the world upside down. And do you know how they did that? And this is going to sound really simple and basic, but they did that because they had Jesus. They had exactly what Paul prayed they'd have in those verses that we've just read. So we're going to just briefly look at these verses from Ephesians and see what Paul prayed for that would make the church effective and make it run and function powerfully. First of all, Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be empowered with inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Now I wonder, why would Paul pray that? Why would he pray that they'd be strengthened with power through God's Spirit? Well, I think it might be that because most organisations that we might belong to would depend on us doing something. It depends on our efforts and our contribution to make it function or run. And I wonder if sometimes we might have sleepwalked into believing that it's our strength that will make the church powerful and vibrant and effective. You know, my inbox is full of all kinds of offers of books and blogs and conferences designed to help the struggling church to learn new methods and techniques to become bigger and more powerful and more effective. And I've not got a problem with that, really. Methods and techniques can be very, very helpful, and I'm always open to learning from other people. But that is not where the church gets its true strength, is it? The church's strength doesn't come from human power, but through God's Spirit. And if the church forgets that, we can fall into the trap of believing that it's on our efforts and our power that the church runs. No, that's what happened to Israel many times. Israel was constantly falling into that trap. Even though in Zechariah chapter 4, God tells them that what you do is not by force nor by strength, but by my Spirit. In other words, God is saying, if you want to be strong, don't rely upon human or earthly power, rely on my Spirit. But too often Israel didn't do that. Too often they got to looking at all the bigger and flashier nations around them, and they got to thinking that if they could just copy those nations, they could be bigger and flashier too. And that kind of thinking always got them into trouble. For example, while Samuel was a judge in Israel, and this was before they had kings, the people complained and moaned and said to God, "We want a king. We want to be like the nations around us, and our king will judge us and lead us into battle." So God heard them say this, he heard their complaints, and he let them have their way. He said, "These people are rejecting me. They don't want me to be their king." And the Israelites, they rejected God. When the Israelites rejected God, they also rejected his power. And the thing that motivated them to do that was that they wanted to be like other nations. They wanted to be like someone else. They wanted what someone else had. But guys, if we're going to be a church of Christ, if we're going to be a church that is full of power, then we need to not be looking at what others have, and we need to not be looking at what we have within ourselves. We need to rely on God's power. Not our own power or anyone else's, only God's power. You know, a couple of years ago, Lorraine and I were thinking about how the church could grow. And we realised that the only way the church grows is by Jesus building the church and by God adding to our numbers. That's how he did it in the New Testament. But we thought it might be prudent to make a target. Right? I don't know if that's right or wrong. But anyway, we set a target and we thought maybe we could win 50 people to Jesus in this particular year. So we had a meeting with our leadership team and we said what we were thinking but didn't give them a number. So we had a discussion amongst ourselves and we prayed. And then the leadership team, all the other guys said, why don't we go for 100? Why don't we make a target of 100 to be added to our church this year? Well, thank God that the leadership team have got more faith than we have. But if you think about that, when we set a target like that, can we possibly do that? I mean, that's the thing we have to think about. We set a target and say we'd love the church to grow, we'd love this number of people to be added to the church, but can we possibly do that? Well, I guess in some ways there's things that we can add people to, but the Bible clearly states it's Jesus who builds his church and it's God who adds the numbers to the church. So we know that even if we can't do it, God definitely can. Okay, and God is the one who adds to our number. Acts 2:47 says it's the Lord who added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's how the early church grew, by God adding to their fellowship those who were being saved. So it is only by the power of the Spirit of God that our prayer for 100 new disciples would ever be answered. And that's only if God thinks that's a good thing for us. Just because we set a target doesn't mean that God is going to say that our target is the right target. But if we take it to God, God can do it. So it's by the power of his Spirit that the church functions and runs and grows and is effective in the world. The second thing Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus was this. He prayed that Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. So let's have a look at what this means. Why do we think about it this way, actually? If you're inviting people to church, so you're trying to add people to the church, in effect, you're inviting people to church, you might say to them things like, have you heard about our pastor? He's amazing. What a great preacher he is. And if you're saying that, thank you. You might also be saying, have you heard about Love Falkirk? It's incredible what those guys do. Or have you heard about our amazing youth group or our great women's ministry or our kids' church and our incredible small groups? Now, that's great. I have said all of that stuff to people to invite them to church. But I wonder, maybe we're inviting them to the wrong thing in some respect. Maybe what we should be saying is, have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard about what Jesus has done in my life? You see, because without Jesus, we don't have anything. You know, you might not be able to win people to my preaching. You might not be able to win them to come to church. You might not be able to win them to small group or to come to youth. But people will come to Jesus. Because Jesus said that he would. He said, I will draw everyone to myself. If Jesus didn't say, I'll draw everyone to the pastor, I will draw everyone to Andrew McNinch. He didn't say, I will draw everyone to Falkirk Vineyard. He said he'd draw everyone to himself. So it's not our programs or our ministries that will change our town or our nation. It's our faith in Jesus and our sharing of what Jesus has done in our life that will bring about change. Now, that being said, as I was thinking about this, there was one question that bothered me as I was preparing this stuff. And the question was this: why is it that we don't always sense this power from God's Spirit? Or we don't always sense the strength of the faith that we have in Jesus? I mean, if there's power in God's Spirit and there's strength in my faith in Christ, then why don't I always feel it? Well, I think there's a number of possibilities, but one thing that came to my mind was this. It could be because we have periods where we grow into stagnation in our faith. I was trying to think of an illustration of this, and the only one I could really come up with was this. I hope this makes sense, but when I was a kid, I grew up in a town called Dumfries, and I grew up there in the 70s. And in Dumfries High Street, there's a fountain. But when I was a kid, it was a fountain by name, but there was no flowing water through it. The fountain part of it didn't actually work. This fountain was actually quite grubby. It wasn't well looked after. It wasn't maintained, but it did have water in it. So it did have a function where it held water, which it's supposed to do, but it really was just rainwater. And it was always, I remember it was always kind of dirty, and it had leaves floating in it and algae. And it was a bit smelly when you walked past it. And so without the fountain actually functioning, there was no movement in the water. So as a result, there'd be a lot of kind of scum and algae and debris, and it would get really yucky. But I remember seeing a photo quite recently of this fountain. It must have been in the 50s or 60s, and you could see that it actually had water flowing out of the fountain. And the way the picture was taken, the water that was sitting in the fountain was crystal clear. And you know, that's what happens when we grow stagnant in our faith. The fountain of the Spirit, when he's not flowing through us and making pure water in our lives, and we grow stagnant. And when there's no flow to our faith, you know, what we have doesn't look attractive and doesn't look right and becomes stagnant because there's no movement. And if that's the case, then we'll end up not doing much other than going to church. You know, if we're still coming to church, that might be as much as we do. And when our faith becomes stagnant, we actually start to become unhappy, I believe, in our church context, in our church environment. You know, we start to become happy if the worship's not up to scratch, or the preacher's not as good as we thought it should be. We might be saying things like, you know, I don't really get anything from church these days. And then you might find that you're drifting and you're no longer in a small group, but you start to come to church less frequently on a Sunday. And then before you know it, you're not serving in church, you're not on a team. And you start to have thoughts like, I don't fit in here anymore. And you might stop coming altogether or decide to go somewhere else that you think is better. And I believe that these things are often a result of when we don't sense the power of God's Spirit in our life, and we are not experiencing the strength of our faith in Jesus. So guys, my encouragement to you today is this. is that go after God. Go after God, like protect and establish and press into your relationship with him above all else, and ask him for that power, that fountain to flow within you, so that your faith doesn't become stagnant, but that actually it's always clean and it's always moving and it's always functional and powerful. Okay, one last point from Ephesians. Paul also prayed that the Ephesians might have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is, and experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. You know, this understanding of the love of Jesus is at the core of what changes us and what brings us into relationship with him. It's knowing the breadth, length, height and depth of Jesus' love that motivates us to do what we do for him. I heard it described this way many times, that his love is as high as heaven itself, that his love went down to the very bowels of hell to draw us to God. It was as deep as the pain he bore when he carried our sins away, and it was as wide as the length of his arms as he was nailed to the cross. You know, it's only when we understand how much Jesus loves us that our faith can make any difference in the world we live in. Because when we understand his love, and when we ponder over it, and we consider it, and we draw into it, it compels us to share it, and to talk about it, and to want others to experience what we've experienced from him. Because it's in the sharing of that love that we have received from Jesus that lives are changed. So guys, let's go after the power that is in his spirit. And let's find or use that power to be strong in our faith, to have the Spirit of God flowing through us, to be able to express and appreciate the depth of the love that Jesus has for us and what he's done for us, to compel us to share that with others. And then let's watch as God adds to the numbers of his church. At the moment, we're putting a lot of our attention towards getting Falkirk Vineyard meeting together again in person. We've had one in-person service so far, last Sunday evening, and we've got more planned. And I just want you to know that these gatherings are the initial step towards us getting together, meeting together again on Sunday mornings. That's the aim that we want to get to. However, our Sunday mornings are still going to be online for a wee while yet. So we're asking you to just have some patience with that. But the good thing is, we're now though in a phase of this pandemic where we have opportunities to meet together, because we are allowed to have up to 6 people from 3 different households in our homes. So I just want to encourage you today to maybe consider inviting other people over to your place on a Sunday morning to get together to watch church online together. And by doing that, we have an opportunity to have some fellowship, to worship with other people, and to pray for and minister to each other in the same place. And even outside of a Sunday or outside of a Sunday morning, we can meet for coffee. You can have people over for dinner or for a barbecue. If you're in the garden, you can have even more people there. Because, you know, we've had 14 months living with the restrictions of what we cannot do. And I believe that now is the time we need to take advantage of what we can do. You know, in Acts 2, we see the template for how the church should be, how the church should run, how it should function. And in numerous occasions in our church, we've considered what it would look like to be like the early church from the book of Acts. Well, I believe that there has never been a better moment than now for us to pursue that aim. You know, the early church were immersed in their personal devotion, just what we've been talking about this morning. It says in Acts 2 that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. But it goes on, it says it wasn't just about the teaching, that drove them to go on and have fellowship and to share in meals with each other. And that's what I've just been saying, that we want to be together doing that. And their fellowship and their sharing and meals led to prayer. So tonight we are meeting for prayer. It's 6 p.m. on Zoom, and we would love to see you at our prayer gathering to pray together for our church, for each other, for our town, for our nation, and further afield. The church in Acts had fellowship together, they shared meals together, and they prayed together. And you know, it goes on to tell us what the result of that was. The result was that God was at work. It says that when they were doing this, a deep sense of awe came over them all. Now that's interesting. A sense of awe came over them all. It was a collective experience. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. God was at work. And all the believers, all of them met together in one place and shared everything they had. Everything is done in the plural. It's all done together in community. This church had togetherness, and they had outrageous generosity, because it also says that they collectively sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. You know, their togetherness and their outrageous generosity that they expressed towards each other spread outside of the church community as they gave to those in need. And it also says that they worshipped together in the temple each day, so they had their, if you like, their church gathering, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. So it goes on to reiterate the fact that they met together in church and they met in homes, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while they praised God and enjoyed the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Guys, I believe that God is calling us to be people like that. He's calling us to be a church like that. As pastors and leaders in our church, we will be making spaces for us to be together in larger numbers. But what we are asking of all of us, of you, is to make space in your day and your homes to be together in smaller numbers. You know, this is a time now where we need to go deeper with God, to be empowered by the strength that we have through His Spirit, to strengthen our faith and to collectively move forward and seek God, to share the love of Jesus with others and watch God add numbers to our church. And you know, it's time to go deeper with God, and it's time to do it together. So we are going to switch over just now over to Zoom, where we can come together and have a chat and pray together and share with each other. We've been doing this for a few months now. And guys, I would really encourage you, if you've not come on the Zoom call before, I would encourage you to do it. Like, even if you're feeling a bit nervous about being on that call, I'd say just do it. You know, we love you, we want to be with you, and this is just an opportunity for us to be together at the same time in the same place. So we're going to do that now. The Zoom link will be appearing in the online chat. And if you're on YouTube or you're watching on Facebook, if you click the link to Church Online, you'll find the link to Zoom there. We would love you guys to be there. So why don't I pray, and then we'll see you over in Zoom. Father, I just want to thank you for this church. I thank you for the people, Lord, that I share my faith with, who I do church with. I thank you, God, for Falkirk Vineyard. And God, I pray that in these days, Lord, that you would draw yourself closer to us. As Jesus, you said you would draw all people to you. God, would you draw us closer to you? And Lord, would you empower us by your Spirit? God, where we are lacking, would you fill us up with your Spirit? Empower us with boldness and courage, Lord, to be obedient and faithful to you. And would you strengthen us through that power to have greater faith and belief of who you are, Lord, as we share the love of Jesus that has been expressed by you in our lives to others. God, would you help us to pull together the story of what you've done for us in a way that we can easily share with other people. And God, above all else, we ask, would you add to our church? God, would you bring people, Lord, into your kingdom, into your church, Lord, into your family, Lord, that do not know you. Lord, would you draw them, Lord, from all parts, Lord, of Falkirk and beyond. Lord, would you bring people, Lord, that we work with, that we live beside, Lord, that we live with, that we socialize with and do other things with. Lord, would you bring them to Jesus? Would you give us a heart for them, Lord? Would you give us the strength and the faith and the power by your Spirit to share the love of Jesus that we've experienced with others? And God, would you build your church and add to your number? God, we bless you. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing. And we ask, Lord, would you stick with us? Lord, would you stick with us? Would you stay with us? Lord, strengthen us, build us up, and keep loving us, and keep us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.